Thus have I heard, dwelling in Rajagriha at Vulture Peak Mountain, together with a great gathering of the Sangha of monks and a great gathering of the Sangha of Bodhisattvas. At that time, the Blessed One entered Samadhi that expresses the Dharma called profound illumination. At the same time, Noble Avalokiteshvara, the Bodhisattva Mahasattva, while practicing the profound Prajnaparamita, saw in this way. He saw the five skandhas to be empty of nature. And then through the power of the Buddha, Venerable Shariputra said to Noble Avalokiteshvara, the Bodhisattva Mahasattva, how should a son or daughter of noble family train who wishes to practice the profound Prajnaparamita? Addressed in this way, Noble Avalokiteshvara, the Bodhisattva Mahasattva, said to Venerable Shariputra, O Shariputra, son or daughter of noble family who wishes to practice profound Prajnaparamita, should see in this way, seeing the five skandhas to be empty of nature. Form is emptiness, emptiness also is form, emptiness is no other than form, form is no other than emptiness. In the same way, feeling, perception, formation, and consciousness are emptiness. Thus, Shariputra, all dharmas are emptiness. There are no characteristics, there is no birth and no cessation, there is no impurity, no impurity, there are no increase, no increase. Therefore, Shariputra, in emptiness, there is no form, no feeling, no perception, no formation, no consciousness, no eye, no ear, no nose, no tongue, no body, no mind, no appearance, no sound, no smell, no taste, no touch. No dharmas, no eye, datu, up to no ma, datu, no datu, dharmas, no mind, consciousness, datu, no ignorance, no end of ignorance, up to no old age and death, no end of old age and death, no suffering, no origin of suffering, no cessation of suffering, no path, no wisdom, no attainment, and no non-attainment. Therefore, Shariputra, since the Bodhisattvas have no attainment, they abide by means of Prajnaparamita. Since there is no obscuration of mind, there is no fear. They transcend falsity and attain complete nirvana. All the Buddhas of the three times by means of Prajnaparamita fully awaken to unsurpassable true complete enlightenment. Therefore, the great mantra of Prajnaparamita, the mantra of great insight, the unsurpassed mantra, the unequaled mantra, the mantra that calms all suffering should be known as truth since there is no deception. The Prajnaparamita mantra is said in this way, Te ata om gate gate paragate parasangati bodhisoha. Thus Shariputra, the Bodhisattva Mahasattva, should train in the profound Prajnaparamita. Then the Blessed One arose from that samadhi and praised Noble Avalokiteshvara, the Bodhisattva Mahasattva, saying, good, good, O son of noble family, thus it is, O son of noble family, thus it is. One should practice the profound Prajnaparamita just as you have taught, and all the Tathagatas will rejoice. When the Blessed One had said this, Venerable Shariputra and Noble Avalokiteshvara, the Bodhisattva Mahasattva, that whole assembly in the world with the gods, humans, asuras, and Gandharvas rejoiced and praised the words of the Blessed One. Kala jube ne jo dhamba ne ngushe do jung a yi do do jen dro ba bo la ma yi bu shin si ne zong gan ro zo la jha tse lo ara samara te samara samara. Aga samara de shonara samara me te ata onga te ka te kara ka te kara sanga te bodhi zo baba kanjo sanji gai te me doje she lo doje me ko doje she wa doje nage baje me te me jo dan je den ko ye zo age re no jo je she she wa da me to no be je na de wa da to ba do je ko so do jo je ta ji te ja te ta te le shu. The fundamental ground is scented with incense and strewn with flowers. So before we make this mandala offering, just imagine that Rinpoche is seated before us. Imagine that he's on a throne supported by eight snow lions. Depending on how far you can, you know, make your visualization, don't kind of be hindered by your inability to have clarity of visualization. Just kind of have the intention of thought if you can't have a vivid image of it, because I have trouble with vivid imagery. So if just you're having trouble with vivid imagery, just imagine in thought that the Lama is on a throne in the space in front of you, supported by eight snow lions. And imagine that all of the lineage masters are all surrounding Rinpoche, and all of the masters that have and hold this lineage of entrance to the middle way, right? Imagine Chandrakirti. And then imagine that Nagarjuna, imagine the whole entire profound view lineage with Manjushri and Nagarjuna and Chandrakirti and Shantideva and Aryadeva and Buddhapalita. Imagine all of these masters are there surrounding us as we make this mandala offering. And we're making this offering in order to say, please, it's like a mandala offering, a request that says, please, transmit this teaching of the Chandrakirti's entrance to the middle way through this lineage of masters to our guru, who is inseparable from them, because the knowledge is the same exact knowledge, and that knowledge is empty of inherent existence. So we just imagine all of the lineage gurus are here present, And we're making a mandala offering so that we can request our root guru to give us this transmission. And like our root guru requested this transmission from his root guru or her root guru and so on and so forth, we are making a mandala offering to request this transmission. The fundamental ground is scented with incense and strewn with flowers, adorned with Mount Meru, the four continents, the sun and the moon. I imagine this as a Buddha land and offer it. May all sentient beings enjoy this pure realm. Holy Lamas high, wrap the sky of your Dharma bodies in massive clouds of knowledge and love, and let them pour upon the earth of your disciples as we are ready, a shower of rain, the teachings deep and wide. This jeweled mandala to you, precious guru. Idam guru radha mandala gam nirata yami. Sanye janan zaji janam la janjo badu dani janjo jitagi junye jibe sanan jirala benji sanye rubajo sanye janan zaji janam la Janjo Badu Dani Jazu Ji Dagi Ji Nye Ji Pe Sanan Ji Rala Pen Ji San Ji Ju Ba Jo San Ji Ju Dan Da Ji Ju Nam La Janjo Badu Dani Jazu Ji Dagi Ji Nye Ji Pe Sanan Ji Rala Pen Ji San Ji Ju Ba Jo. That was three times, correct? Thank you. So today we're so fortunate, right, to have Rinpoche give us this transmission. So let me just make sure that we're queued up and we'll go as far as we go. And then we'll go, right? All right. So the fourth chapter of the Madhyamika Avatara is called The Radiant, right? Fourth Bodhisattva grounds called the Radiant. And just real quickly, the reason that when, if you look at going back to the visualization of the Lama on a throne, when you do visualizations of the teacher, it's said in even in highest yoga tantra, when you're imagining the ordinary form and you're imagining the actual Lama, you should not imagine them on a lotus if they are alive still. You should imagine them on a throne. That's solid. So you find this in the highest yoga tantra commentary. You find this in the lower commentaries also. When I say lower, I just mean not highest yoga tantra. I mean, it's in the perfection vehicle.
But you see this advice of having the Lama on a very secure throne. It's not floating, or this very secure, strong. It can be floating, but the throne itself is a very stable thing. The Vajra, there's a lot of different visualizations you can do. It's important to get into those when you're ready, and you can very, when you're at that point of visualization and you're ready, it will be very easy for you to find this information of the more detailed visualizations. So just real quickly, I just wanted to add that piece. Why the throne, right? Do you visualize the Lama on, a lotus and a disc floating? The Lamrim says no, and the highest yoga tantra commentaries say no. If you're imagining as the Lama, right? The Lama who is here with us, teaching us in a conventional way, if you're imagining that Lama, it should always be on a throne that's secure, unless they've passed on. And once they've passed on, it's appropriate to imagine them on a lotus and moon disc. But during an initiation, when we're abandoning ordinary appearances and so forth, that's a little bit different. But there's different parts, right, of initiations, right, where the first there's more ordinary appearances, and then it becomes less and less ordinary, right? It's after the Bodhisattva vow. So you find a lot of this conversation in the taking of the Bodhisattva vow part of Six Session Guru Yoga, and then the taking of Bodhisattva vows in general in the perfection vehicle, where you find this Lama seated on a throne. As opposed to a lotus. So, but investigate it further. And if you find something different, I always love new information, but that's what I found in our tradition to be a very, very solid kind of common theme about meditation, visualization of the spiritual friend. Okay. Samche Jipa. So please think that you're here listening to this transmission for the sake of all sentient beings. The Semchen Tamche Gondha. Okay. May I become a Buddha for the benefit of all sentient beings, or to be able to almost like fulfill sentient beings' purpose. So we have our own purpose and others' purpose. When we look at Rondun and Shandun, our own purpose, our own fulfillment, and others' fulfillment. So may I become a Buddha in order to fulfill their needs. So I'm listening to this transmission at this point for that reason.
Mm-hmm. 나도 가와야다 하는고 그래도 가와래 심에 매내지 루즈 바보다와 주 주바 가이바 되는 두배 사진루이 사면 되니 영화 때배 하는 때인데 그런 내배 되지 내버 때마샤 달라 ti tu bi xiang zhu san ba nang la guo ba xie xiao jie jia ji zui la ke bi jue ne zhe ji ro ga wa ga yu san ne tu ju ten de tu du nian yu lang de nian ba qi ten ni ten ze le ju mi ye da Lela Kalashi Nika Le Chamai Jume Pane Kalayu Tene Tele Njuna Yeden Gaya Yumai Chiba Chiba Laya Chiba Riba Mai Chisin Laya Chiba Yungsu Tuba Njuna Ne Nyungulasu Nāji jīwā dēnyē mēchūshī sāpēng sītā tūpā rōtu jīwā nīdun jūrū jītā dēnyē dēnā bā jībā jībā jū shēchū sāpēng lē tādē nyōgū īdāna kādū rūnī Maybe Tadi Chula Meva Juro Kede Naj Dagi Nobu Sana Tele Yen Mohon Juna Tene Ti Tese Tese Chetan Jo Kede Chuchi Saben Nyogu Deye Mahina Saben Jindu Nyogu Shesha Tizong Mepa Aung, Yana Tata Chibi, Chita Nyangu, Dezhin Do, Teyang Zung Do, Yungju Tishi, Tene Khema Lang. Tishi Juji Naya, Tiyin Jebu, Tung Yushiri, Tata Chiba Mahi, Tata Chiba Yishi, Jiden Shishan, Khema Lang. Tishin mabu tali nyoshe rodo taba mayin taba nyoshe rodo taba mayin mandi dini ane jide duyan riba mayin dali chewa yuna chewa shatang Chishatang, Lietang Shibu, Yanyi, Chichu, Nidane, Chini Mayi, Pena, Dali Chiwa, Kilangpa, Shami Jachin, Shibi Jachin, Tawan Jushu.
I'm going to need a drink.
It's like magic. Yeah, Jenny Tong. Rodo Java never teaches. The book had to see. Cause it didn't chip up. Then Zena, Jewel. You see, two down. Chip up, Shelley, Chip up, teacher. Salu Nyobo Lasu Le. C'est un nain, que ça dans le,
Je suis venu ici. Mais la sous dans la j'ai déjà la sous la sous les j'ai eu la l'union que va tirer de maintenant la j'ai chez eux tu vas chez moi. Juna, Yuba, Red, Meta, Nika, Andre, Tash, Tetron, Yuna, Chigu, Mela, Hotten, Chishi, Shah,
Nini,
Tetra. Shadan, Telan, Te Chisha. Kanki Ran Dalane, Jidan Sama, Dubina, then there's a bit. Never remember Nisha, Dabu Chisha. Zelen Dua. Je suis venu à la maison. D'un bon, on va dire, on va s'éteindre, on va jeter.
시세도 마세 대세 달라 소비유 세바유나 소자유미 따라 데모 니세 레네 대세노 오버러리 치 제바 루칸게 러리 틀레 다시 가통와 들로 라트 니자 데모데 요새 통라니가 되면 그때 시작 매봐 루유나 차대유드 매네 제주유 러리 매라 다시 루유나 그다 많이 뜻이 되면 아주 통화 할래 루유나 매지 대시 달라 로맨조 시야 영어 제일 매지나 뇌든 뇌든 매베 근데 로마이 제라 뇌바 시바 요마이 마지 올라요 뇌메 제바 아바 치바 제메 마셔보라 근데 여버튼 제대 좋아지 해녀 내도나 여버 매번데 돈주메 해줬을라 대비 대버 줘버네 줘메더니 제 담바 나지수 제등가베 네미 레드나 예니르바 에제 용아유 주제나데 페즈타데 페즈타지 원레 용아유 제데테네 주제 타데시 드라 라유 타데 메티시 네메 제나 근데 로야시 타데 마이 이거 메리죠 샤바니베 라데 추나네 예니시나 주지 도메데 간다 란테니 이제 수소와 다 주지 또봐 제마이 멜로 좋아 간에 마지레 담아타 그네 진주지 너가 나지 내지 너들아 어버소제 메제 저도 너는 어버레노 나버리 시선 매봐 라기 사벨레 호주 아니 조아 마토보 마토네 시 소아 세케바네 말한 나 조대제 매봐 라는 매래 대나제 생 나제생 요아제다 되지 슬런들 슬을 매봐 얘는 요제나 제다 매매반에 몰라도 호주 나 예산 좀더 매매 나기 사면은 몰라 매를 로아 라더
지메시
그때 주연이 다시 말로 두바이 네바 미셀레 메주나 두베 뉴미 뉴미 제타 데메바 에타 메세 메체 제메리 제타 메세 네 주메 따라 Malah tu ya, ni jumai. Tapi malah tu ya, dia ni jadi yang tu berjuke kalau. Dia lainnya, kata apa? Tentang nanti contoh ni. 저도 세제 사제 나지네. 아유, 뭐 보여지? 마태도. 내주 봐요. 남의 명아. 걔를 지금 사제 통화가. 대나 손자. 저와 매봐. 응. 로봐 일하시고. 내시로. 这就往别云南这道啊这道门都一起看着呢这些云的这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些这些 Shisha mè tè jìn, lù yàn mè jì tùn dè shè bà jì. Kè tè zù mè dè bà, nì tè jì, nì jì tùn bè, jì wàn mè yù nà, dè lè yù bà kàng kè shè bà jù rù, mà zù wà yàn yù jì shè mè. Shamarong。等于现在，用竹板椅，贴的，是对砖板，来住那，马路竹板上，竹板椅，马路那呢，竹板斜板面，竹板椅，竹了。 咱们这，这趟准备，这个没的，这没的，这些嘛是，就得这把些，但是这呢，这把大成中，还是刚给为了，因为这些，这把的麻辣。 也没吧，这些我也通常参加的，那样今天他呢去露营，这些长得也不，万一呢，确实希望，他跟这帮人，写不来呢，写吧，去没呗，等你进来。 这不是没，这是叫我们马歇别，大家希望我有那，看看，难得，要不没得，没得吧，热了没上，反正这是这。 可是希望中是人民呢，工作把有困难，放心去了。现在到那，接了下半夜，今天准备工作忙了，这工作工作了。 Lubaludu, Shajalanina, Shudajula, she tubbin. Sada Kundu, Delena, Zelenava, Taba, Kumai. Tane Deva, Tosubada, Dodon Deva, And then I go to the Shiva. Then I go to Lube Longesu. Chata Chuchi Shima. Mundu Tar Kundu Chana. Taki Kimala. Deshin Tata Meja. Yotushi. Jidan Moshi. Tana. Jidan Nitu Nuna Gabachi Chudan Jidan Jujina Shintoneda Demasha Mundu Mashu Sanju Sambai Sazon Nashisan Tu Gantuba Nada Shibu Kaba Tushi de Shibutana San Sazan Yimatu. This is Luna Luna Pishir Langashendo Tele Quinchenche Meti Tanto Zinjong Maharaji. Was
Rimuche, Tiren Gatsi Dangre.
Yagre.
Tiren Ami Gansano Garibe.
Dini Sanji, Dini Jela, Sanji Jeda Jin, Dini Sanzan, Tujuro, Jidan La, Dule Sanzan, Shezon, Zudender, Gubatata, Dui, Tun, Tumai. Kedin dada sazan, sazan, she, chene, tele zuni, gavan zeban, zelane, hayan tele, dani, chimbu, sen, demon, lene, chiba, chesusun.
That's more than I said, that's.
Shababu, Nogi, soon the cover of my inno. Jinne by me, Lanava, who did that? Not a you, the Nichija, is he? Chow, no, no, but then you but the law, no, Sobe nana, seyo mandir, seyo nana, nana o, sobe mandir. Teda nasi dan, sajin, tündir, sajin, soba ponjin, nabi çöle son. Deni, riba, deda şine can, çöze zene, kaba, rumen dur, deşe teta, zebe, mu döne, deni maçı, giden, çelişa, dudu kale, dudu kale, şırı, ayırmayı, sen nazo, tamo, şezun ba, Sula Shindu Chagun Tidala Zudu Bane Tehan Chantanyi Dene Dene Chantanyi Sunyi Dene Chantanyi Jebete Naba Naba Tete Dode Jeyane Dene Dende Sevaş Şile mena, şiba seva ne, dala ne sanji, dala cison, şile mena, şiba, kandu be, tamu şile, kaban zeba yin. Dende nonki, loju şeje de, dokan deni, ayin, Şedeceğim. Da tutu. Baba yeşil. Dedin ciden lebi. Dedin ki o. Hande bin. Kaşı zırı. Dene. Çıvarlı koyumayın. Kete cümle kuna. Çıva. Taşı cünana. Kese tabi tatu, tani lezzan çözü şeyin, lezzan çözü ciden deyine sabır lazım ne? Ceza tagi, kudun tümba, şeba, yamir.
Çi, ne mesar?
Kedin ruha, Yüyü, Tumacına, Nakane, Yüda,
Yüla,
Yüla,
Yüce, Dörce, Şinzon,
Çındu, Çizin, Zontu, Mercin, Mercina, Şidu, Çetri, Gidince bu değişir. Sana durmayacak. Gidince öyle. Yavaş yavaş.
Değilsin. Okay, so we're going to end the transmission here. Rinpoche read up to stanza 100, and he read 100 of the sixth chapter. He read the fourth chapter, the fifth chapter, and then 100 stanzas of the sixth chapter. So that's where we'll end off today. So Rinpoche Tuchena. And I just want to, again, thank everybody for attending. So we had this question last week. I just want to briefly go over this because I think it's interesting. We've had two questions over the last like 6 months that have been very interesting not that they all haven't been interesting, but anyway, that have kind of reoccurring interested me. One is this idea of kind of free will, right, in Buddhism. And it's a reoccurring thing. It's been going on, in, you know, for a long time. You end up with ultimately, but, you know, free will thing. And then this idea last week about the Mara, right? What happens tomorrow when Buddha becomes enlightened? So I think that the two topics are really related. It kind of came to me a little bit that these two topics are very, very, very related. And, you know, I was listening to Alan Wallace, and he's this crazy genius scholar, right? Everyone knows this person, right? And he addressed this question, and he said something so interesting, like, okay, let's just cut through everything. Do we have free will? Okay, right now I'm going to sit here and only think about the Buddha for 1 hour. Maybe like 30 seconds, and we're going to be thinking of something else. We don't obviously have this ability to say, I'm going to just sit here and have single pointed concentration right now, right? We don't have this free will in that we can just do whatever we want. There seems to be something else that's kind of controlling our, you know, what's going on. But then we seem to have this kind of control in there a little bit. And at times we have more control than others, right? So the example was given, if you're in a fit of rage, if there's a crime of passion, society says, oh, well, they weren't in their right mind right then and there. So we say that their perception at that point was distorted enough that we think it's less than someone who wasn't under the influence of this. So we say that there's varying degrees of free will, even within the context of what we look at conventionally, right? We say that we can very easily come under the control of some sort of delusion, and our free will seems to be, you know, goes away. Or we can at least explain why we didn't have as much free will as we might have at a time when we weren't enraged, right? Or we weren't in a state of insanity, right? So likewise, when we're under the control of our karma and afflictions, we're misperceiving things, right? At a subtle level at all times. At a subtle level at all times, we're perceiving that which doesn't exist to exist, right? And we're first perceiving ourselves and then relating it to other and then reflecting other back to ourselves and designating ourselves based on other, right? Okay, we're tall because other's short. We're beautiful because other's ugly. Oh, we're fat because other's skinny. I'm skinny because other's fat. So our whole identity is in relation to another person or an external object that is no more truly established than ourselves. So there's this magic trick that happens in equalizing the exchanging self with others that I'm just starting to get. I don't get it at all. But where you understand this relationship between grasping itself doesn't exist, grasping at other doesn't exist, and the cherishing self that happens when you're grasping itself is what causes all the problems in the world. So there's some magic that happens between emptiness and bodhicitta and this desire to help others in the equalizing and exchanging self with others practice. And that's why at the White Tara initiation, when Pakcha asks that question, if you have to understand and realize emptiness in order to realize bodhicitta through exchanging self with others, it was a very good question that I kind of blew off and thought was a silly question for a while, and then started looking at the Lam Rim Chemo and realizing it's not a silly question. And Rinpoche has stated, no, you don't have to directly realize emptiness to reach the path of accumulation with equalizing, exchanging self with others, of realizing bodhicitta, because you have sharp and dull capacity bodhisattvas. But there is a connection in that meditation to understand selflessness of other, self and other, right? In order to properly do equalizing, exchanging self with others practice. So there's some magic in there, where you start to understand the things that you're grasping at that exist, don't exist, and you're becoming more right-sized about this kind of middle way between the conventional and the ultimate. So this going back to this inability to perceive what we want and do what we want, right? This gets clarified, and our ability to perceive things correctly becomes clarified as we become more enlightened. Only the Buddha is omniscient. So only the Buddha knows what my mind is right now, right? My dad thinks I'm still like this rocker guy that's out partying, right? and will always see me kind of like that. Like Devadatta saw Buddha as this prince guy that just wasn't anybody. Who are you to say you're a Buddha, right? And Mara was jealous. So Mara is this being that they say is like a form realm being, but hangs out in the desire realm, because Mara is a man. Let's just make that clear. Garb Wanchen, and in the stories that we find. And it's a male that has this attachment and jealousy and makes emanations and messes with people, right? With high status, who have excellent qualities because he's either jealous or wants them. So this being is misperceiving, right? That there's a great being, just like Devadatta is misperceiving that there's a great being, right? And Angumala misperceived Buddha as a great being, tried to kill him. But what do all these beings have in common? They can't harm Buddha. Buddha isn't killed, right? Buddha can't be killed because Buddha's in control now of that. Buddha isn't under that same kind of direction that we're all under. And Devadatta doesn't have the karma to see Buddha. Mara doesn't have the karma to see Buddha, right? As is. Buddha doesn't have the karma to be harmed by any of them, right? And Buddha's omniscience, we really can't understand completely. So we don't know what that experience really is going on there, because that's kind of beyond a reality. Like, how do you experience someone's imprints and know what those are doing? Like, that's a little wild, because that's what the Buddha's doing. The Buddha's looking at like all the imprints and knowing that, okay, that's going to happen. That's going to happen in 10 minutes. That happened before because of this. So the Buddha's like making all these mathematical calculations about in an omniscient way at all times, right? So the Buddha really, what that kind of feels or looks like, we can't imagine, but we do know that the Buddha doesn't see, right? If the Buddha's omniscient and the Buddha knew in that life, right? Depending on how we interpret the story, right? Do we interpret the story that he's already a Buddha and then he's like portraying all of this stuff to show us how to become enlightened? If that's the case, I debated with Rinpoche, does that mean Mara could be a Buddha? Emanating, helping Buddha with the story, showing what a temptation is, and, you know, Rinpoche said, I don't know. So then, so we could look at the story like it's all just a big thing, a big show going on, and only the Buddha knows that part. Or we could look at it like the conventional story where Buddha's under a tree, becomes enlightened, and all of those different things happen in the manner that they happen. And I don't think it really matters either way. What it means is that when he was under the tree, only the Buddha got enlightened. Mara didn't, Devadatta didn't, Angumala didn't, only the Buddha did. So only the Buddha could really realize that every sentient being is Devadatta, every sentient being is Mara, because we've had that relationship with every sentient being. The Buddha's not clinging to that one life. The Buddha realizes that his own child killed him possibly in his lifetimes before, and that they had that relationship. And the Buddha stopped clinging to this life and stopped clinging to all past and future lives by understanding this equality of friends, enemies, and neutrals, right? We look at this, we don't understand how that relates, right, to the final path. Why do we look at friends, enemies, and neutrals and see these changing relationships? Because the Buddha understands that Mara and the Buddha's child and Devadatta and maybe someone who was Buddha's student cut his head off in a previous life. And the Buddha recognizes that each of those beings has no nature to be a friend, enemy, or a neutral inherently, as inherently existent in a way. So there's some magic between this recognition of equality between friends, enemies, neutrals, this not grasping a true establishment, and then this complete understanding of all phenomena wrapping around all of it. But this idea that we don't have free will, well, you hear, Devadatta hears, this is a Buddha. He doesn't have free will to be like, I don't want to kill this guy. He thinks he's this prince that's a jerk because his karma and affliction sees it like that. Right? He has no control over that. He doesn't have free will to not go try to hurt the Buddha. Angumala didn't have free will not to go kill these 999 people because his free will mixed in with a wrong teaching. Like that little tiny bit of like opportunity that we have to go right or left mixed in with the wrong teaching, and his karma allowed him to be saturated like that. When we look at Angumala, He was told to kill 1,000 people and he'd become enlightened. He gets to the 1,000th person, is Buddha. He kills 999 people, puts their fingers around his neck, each one of them. He has a necklace of these dead people's fingers, and he thinks that this is a path to enlightenment. Believes this is a path to enlightenment, right? 100% believes this, misperceives reality enough that he has fingers hanging from his body of dead people, and he thinks, one more and I'm going to be enlightened. And then the last person he gets to is the Buddha. Now, the Buddha can't be killed. Why? Because the Buddha has transcended this. But the Buddha can't just wash away Angulimala's sins. So Angulimala is trying to chase the Buddha as fast as he can. And Buddha's just sauntering. Just sauntering. Angulimala cannot catch up with him. And the Buddha's just slowly doing what? Liberating by teaching the truth. Angulimala was not taught the truth. The Buddha can't wash away Angulimala's sins with water. He can't make Angulimala not want to kill him, but he can teach Angulimala the truth so that Angulimala won't want to kill him. And Angulimala realized that there's nothing to be killed, right? Like all that will get all mystical, right? But that's kind of the outline of like where we can begin with all of that. And then there's so much meaty detail in there. Like as Kay was saying, we had a little dialogue back and forth about it. There's a lot of meaty detail and consequences to what we're saying with all of these things, right? When we say that, you know, our child cut our head off. Wow, that's different, right? And then we run into somebody that yells at us at the store and we realize they were our child, right? Like we realize that, you know, that person who in our minds is our greatest enemy was like my dog Suma to me. I love more than like I can imagine, right? And we had this same exact relationship. And there's just a moment in time happening where I'm creating an experience that sees it as this, that, or the other thing because my karma has forced me into it. I've done something bad to harm somebody. So I have a causally concordant effect being thrust on me that I see as outside of me. It's happening outside of me, but the experience of it is being forced on that external object by me. So it's important that we don't land on mind only. We don't land on I'm creating all of this because Devadatta still doesn't see Buddha, right? Buddha's enlightened. Devadatta doesn't see. We don't close our eyes and the whole world goes away and then we reopen them and the world exists again, right? It's like every time we blink, all sentient beings aren't extinguished, right? They're still there suffering. Prove it. Well, the Buddha goes through a whole path in order to help those objects of observation. And then the Buddha becomes enlightened and there's still objects of observation that need to be helped that are sentient beings that are suffering, right? The Buddha doesn't become enlightened and then everything's pure in the sense that there's no other things that are suffering. The Buddha's experience is pure, but the experiencer that the Buddha's experiencing, like the sentient being, they're not pure from their side. From their side, they're experiencing cyclic existence. They are their samsara. They're creating their world from their side, just as the Buddha used to do, figured out how to stop doing it, and then shows us how to stop doing it. But that just showing us how, just showing up, having some iconography doesn't change it. We have to slowly go through those stages that the Buddha went through in order for this to take place. I keep saying this word revolution. It's not some lexicon, it's something I kind of made up, but like it's a revolution in your mind. You're revolting against this wrong idea of things truly established, friends, enemies, and neutrals. Like you're kind of like the truth is having a revolution in your mind and saying no more, you know, harming others, no more killing, no more lying, no more stealing, no more sexual misconduct. And then there's like an army of your mind of like imprints going, but I really like that. I really, really like that. I don't want to do that. And you're having this revolution and the army is getting bigger and bigger as you do more and more meditation. And that army gets to the point where it just overcomes that army of delusion that it's fighting. And then the revolution, then you have like, you know, freedom, right? Like, you know, at the end of a revolution, you're hoping for some kind of like change or some kind of freedom or you know, something to occur. And what occurs is you revolt against instincts, and then you engage in truth, and that revolution creates Buddhahood, right? So that's when I talk revolution. I'm not trying to say revelation and don't know how to say revelation. I'm saying revolution because I really feel like that's what's going on. We're at war with our mental afflictions. It's nothing short of that. It's not any easier than a war, right? It's much harder than a war because it's in us. We can't run away or hide for a second because the army's outside, but we know we're safe for a minute. The army's in us, fighting us at all times without a break. Morning, noon, and night. Every second of the day, there is an army within our mind fighting us to do the wrong thing, because that's what our habituation since beginningless time has done. To look at things the wrong way, to do the wrong thing, and to do it all because we love ourselves so much, and we just can't get over it, how much we love ourselves and how much this, everything has to just be centered around what we want, right? So it's that revolution that's like going against that instinct, right? To just want to do fun things that, you know, really ultimately help hurt us. So that's what I mean by that. So I appreciate you listening to my banter. Do we have any questions?
Go ahead, Coleman.
Okay. Good morning, everyone. My question was, has the Buddha always existed? For example, has Tara always existed? I remember in the Tara Puja, it says, like, she's the mother. I'm probably quoting this wrong. I don't know if she actually says that or not, but she's the mother of all the Buddhas, and she stamps down the universe. She stamps down the universe with the hand. So that's my question.
Yeah, interesting, right?
Yeah.
The Droma Kondo Nala, the Droma Sanje Kanga Ama Yin. Then the Droma Jewang Ama 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 Droma Yin, the Tambo Semche, and then a Droma Chas. Sanje Tamche Trupa Yimba. Then the Ngama. So Rinpoche is saying that the Droma Sanje Tamche Trupa Yin. So we could say that Tara is the emanation of all Buddhas. So Rinpoche just said we can start with that. So Tara is the emanation of all Buddhas. Then the Ngama, the Droma, the Susu, the Shacha Tupa, the Shana Dorje, the Konsu, the Sheba Kakare. Droma, the Shacha Tupa, Sheba Kakare. Okay, then Droma, Ngama, Senchen Yin. Then the Yure, the Loju, the Yure, the Jemen Yin, then Nga, the Jemen Sanje Gu, Yomarebe. Then Ngama, 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 the Droma, the Ngatsu Dandrapo, Yomarebe. Okay, so previously, okay, we got low battery. Hold on 1 second, folks. I just have to get a plug in. If for some reason we lose everybody, or we'll figure it out. We only have 10% battery left, and I forgot to plug it in. I plugged it in before, but it doesn't, for some reason, this iPad won't do a 2-hour session, even full. So I asked Rinpoche a couple of questions just for clarification. So previously Tara was a regular sentient being. So we don't say that then, okay, Tara is the emanation of all of the Buddhas, right? We say that, but Tara previously was a being like ourselves that was a sentient being. There's stories of it. I don't know the stories well, but there's different ones and then they're refuted. So I don't know. Sometimes stories don't help me so much. They kind of make me like, please, can we just do like Madhyamaka? I don't know. But so there's a lot of stories, but the one that I'm familiar with is that Tara wanted to be enlightened and to be manifested as a female. Now, there's so many female deities that I don't know if this is an addition of subtraction, it doesn't really matter, right? But there's many different, the story that I read is like that there wasn't a Buddha, right? That's a female before, and that's not accurate, right? And so I wonder what kind of was interjected into that story or not historically, right? So the story you read like that is like there's no females, and then Tara decides that she's going to be the one. But when we look at Highest Yoga Tantra, you can't become enlightened without a female, right? So I don't know. No Buddha could ever have become a Buddha without female Buddhas, right? So you can't say there wasn't a male. I just don't find it tenable that, you know, at that point there wasn't a female Buddha, right? Unless, but then, you know, yeah, I don't know, because then you have to posit a first, and then it becomes difficult. You end up, you have to have, well, what caused that? What caused that? What caused that?
Jeff, I think it was the teachers and the practitioners. It was the culture. When Tara was a sentient being, it was the, there weren't female like practitioners and high teachers.
Okay. So the culture at the time she wanted to manifest as this was culturally, it wasn't seen.
Yeah, except, just to prove that it could be done. That's how I've been taught.
Yeah. So that makes sense then. I'm better with that, like culturally at that time, right? I'm fine with that. I've seen a lot of very like substantially existent stories about it that didn't speak culturally about that time, that talked about, you know, going to the Buddhas and saying like this big like revolution almost, you know, I've read this like, I forget what book, it doesn't matter, but I've read a very kind of like, much more revolutionary story behind Tara also that wasn't more cultural at the time. It went to the Buddha and said, hey, you know, we need more, you know, we need the female representation. He, neither here nor there. But so Rinpoche said that Tara definitely was a sentient being before. So was not always a Buddha. There is no being that was always, right? Because the Semchen, the Sanje Tamchen Lama Semchen Yin, Yomarga. So all Buddhas were previously sentient beings. So the line of demarcation between sentient being and Buddha is the 10th Bodhisattva ground, right? So all Buddhas were sentient beings at one point in time or another, Rinpoche is saying. Then the Jutsen Gare, the Sanje Tamche, the Droma Amai, the Mune Yomare, Gangisen, the Droma, Jewang Ama Ama, Sanchen Tamche, Marshepa, Geshe. Okay, so I said, how can we, you know, so then what is this story that she's the mother of all Buddhas? And I said, is it similar to all sentient beings have been our mother? Kind of this concept. He said, maybe similar to this. So, I don't know. I'm trying to think of a better way to ask. The Garshane, the Droma, the Becha, the Droma, Sanje, Kanga, Amayin. Then the Kon Amang, Mune, Yomare, Ganyasin, the Namakon Semchen. Sanjay Kashe, Tambo Konsu Sanjay Chason, then a Droma Sanjay Chason. Droma the Sanjay Tambo Yoma. Okay. That's where we're at. So Rinpoche is saying that Tara is an emanation of the Buddhas. Then the Droma, Shachatupa, Sheba, Kakare. So the Buddha, Shakyamuni, and Tara's consciousness are different. So it's a tough one for me, this topic, right? Like Lama Tsongkhapa's Rikson Gompo. He's the manifestation of Vajrapani and Manjushri and Chenrezig, right? But then Manjushri's his teacher, right? Also, so which is it? So I struggle a little bit with a lot of this language and the manifestation of the body, speech, and mind of these deities. Lama Tsongkhapa is, I understand that. But then is the rest of the story just like a story? Like, didn't he doesn't need to meet with Manjushri. If he's Manjushri, right? So I just like, okay, then Tara is the emanation of all of the Buddhas, right? So the consciousness is different though. So, but when a Buddha is omniscient, right? The Buddha's omnisciencies, right? Are all the same. There's not a different level of omniscience. And if you can perceive all phenomena simultaneously and you can emanate, right, as much simultaneously, you could then perceive all Buddha's minds and emanate, right? Something like this, something to this effect, because it's the same. But why would you need to do that is my question. If you're omniscient, like, why do you need more? Why do you need more power? Maybe because those other Buddhas connect to other sentient beings you don't, right? Because of karma, you can only help a sentient being if they have that connection. So maybe it's that, right? You emanate all of these Buddhas so you can connect to every sentient being that every Buddha can connect to. And you do that how? Through omniscience and through emanation. And through this thing I can't even begin to fathom, right? So that's what I think. But I would love to know more about it. What do you think, Lobsang La?
I'm not sure exactly which question, but I guess, I mean, Rinpoche's answer there seems satisfactory to me for now, that Tara is an emanation of all the Buddhas. I don't know, seems like there's something there to think about that could help resolve the dilemma.
What do you think about this idea that Lama Tsongkhapa is the body, speech, and mind, right? Vajrapani, Chenrezig, and Manjushri, but then he can't write the Lamrim Chemo because he doesn't know how to do it. And then he needs Buddha Palita to come give him a blessing and Manjushri to come teach him. And like, how do you reconcile this personally?
Just to try to keep it kind of brief. I mean, just my experience of actually knowing tukus, friends who, like classmates and friends who are recognized as tukus of previously, supposedly well-developed lamas, that sort of just that experience sort of, I don't know, it just somehow overcomes the kind of oddness of the whole situation and makes it seem very natural and normal. So I can't give a better explanation than that. I mean, I guess if I'm trying to philosophically analyze it, I could say maybe, like, to me, it kind of at this point makes sense that an omniscient Buddha could emanate as someone who still, within the emanation, not only is there the externally observable person that other sentient beings can engage with and interact with, but there's even the internal person where they might have different mental states and emotions that they, are able to say, I experienced this, I experienced that, even though it's an emanation of an omniscient being. So you could have a Tsongkhapa saying, I experienced not knowing this and that subject matter of the nature of emptiness, what have you, and then learned it, even though the whole time he was an emanation of a Buddha. I can see that as not really having a big, being a big dilemma, but I could also understand how it seems like a big dilemma from another perspective.
But right, like Buddha, why wouldn't Buddha be able to emanate like a regular human being? Right.
Well, I mean, because an emanation is all five aggregates. So that includes the perceptions aggregate, the feelings aggregate, so they can have doubts and they can have different emotions or what have you, right? Like a person, even if they're an emanation. To me, that kind of makes sense, but I'm not sure if there's really any real answer on what I just said, just my perspective.
Well, right. Well, the emanation is only emanating to help sentient beings, right? And they can emanate anything. And of course, then they can emanate a being that needs to learn. It's interesting, right? You can emanate a being that needs to learn, doesn't really need to learn because ultimately the ultimate mind of the Dharmakaya emanating, it doesn't need to learn, but its emanation does. That's very interesting, right? Is a bridge that is emanated a bridge or a Buddha, right? If a Buddha emanates a bridge, is it a bridge or a Buddha? Performs the function of a bridge. Very, very interesting. I love it. I thank you very much for that.
Sure.
Then kong ga jambe yang yimba, jambe yang the gege mugu, then ne ngatsu the geche shi. Then ne the lao san la sumpure, the sanje trupa, the garian trutungu, shinken ma shinken, the kanga, garian trutungu, luma de trutona, the Ripa jamu mayimba luma the chutu. The laja lenja yabudu. So he said that's a great answer. That Buddha can emanate someone who can answer or who can answer, who is smart, who isn't smart, right? Very, very, very interesting, right? And then maybe like some of his students just saw him as Manjushri Vajrayana, right? And then some of his students like heard him talking about getting teachings from Manjushri, because it's very interesting, because that's what he's emanating and that's what they're experiencing, because the Buddha's omniscient and knows what they need right then and there. Okay, so Rinpoche said we still don't know when we're doing the fire puja, but just before we talk about this, let's do the concluding. Do we have any more questions? I'm sorry.
Stasha had her hand raised, but she lowered it. So I'm not sure if she still has her question.
Hello, I do. If they're okay with battery.
We'll find out. We're plugged in now.
Okay, Tuchana, thank you for the transmission and the translating. Just a couple quick questions about just thinking about like Angulimala was on the wrong path to murder 1,000 people, but ended up on the right path with finding Buddha as the 1,000th. So I'm not saying that murdering people is the right path, but in essence, he did end up on the right path, and similar to Milarepa, who also harmed a lot of people before finding the path. So I guess my question is, people who suffer or cause suffering, is it easier for them to realize what suffering is and then turn it around to not want to do that as part of the path? I know there's a lot in there, but does it make sense?
The con triwa the Angulimala me ducha the con gegen the me chiton se du. Then the con the guchu gucha guchu gugu se son. Then sanje le son. Then sanje becha chason. Then con da jombo chas. Then the me ducha sem jor le la me the jawa yurbe. The med ducha, the sem.
So not so easy.
So Angulimala. Okay, so the Angulimala, I know this is going to sound strange, had merit, a large amount of merit, to be able to then meet with the Buddha as the 1,000th person, right? A lot of people don't, at their last person they kill, meet the Buddha, right? They don't have that luxury of change. So it's there, everybody's karma is so individual. It's hard to say, because it's so individual. Rinpoche is saying that Angulimala had great merit, right? We're thinking he's killing all these people, not great merit because he killed anyone, Let's make that clear. But he had to within his continuum because of cause and effect. Results are concordant with causes. In order to meet with the Buddha and become a foe destroyer in that lifetime, there must have been an incredible amount of level of merit that was there, ready to be, have a condition, right? For it to open back up or for him to see the truth that he had already practiced. Like Milarepa, of course, many lifetimes practiced, had some obstacles, then met with the teacher, and all of those lifetimes of practice be kind of reconnected in a way, right? So he had all these lifetimes of practice and this, like, you know, was at a high level maybe, but then was thrown by his karma into this kind of situation. And then the consciousness that connected to so much of that other virtue, right? Or the, you know, the imprints, it's, however all that works, right? Was able to be like ripened by Marpa teaching the Lam Rim to Milarepa. And that's what I'm, that's from now on what I'm calling it. Marpa teaching the Lam Rim to Milarepa is what the stages of the path is what allowed Milarepa to ripen. And when we say one lifetime, it's one lifetime, but it connected to all these other lifetimes of practice. So that's all. Then the Gangisena, then Milarepa and Lama made ducha, then Kon Sanje Jason. Then Angomala made ducha and Sanje Jason. Then Ye this Segudu. The Kon made ducha lay Juan. Then Kon Marpa Becha Chison. Then Kon Gewa Nama 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 Mambo Sasa. Then Drewa Chasa. Sonan Drewa. Yomarebe Marpa Chen. Okay, so I just explained. So Marpa was the condition, right? For the connection back to Milarepa's previous karma. Like we've become Buddhists, so many of us, right? It's like, oh my gosh, there, it's like, oh, that makes sense. Nothing else did. It's almost like a lightning bolt at times, you know? In my case, it was enough of a lightning bolt that it made sense and I kept going, right? And I was like, willing to do anything at that point. I'm studying anything under the sun and like, that was cool. Most of the stuff was much cooler than I landed on, though, which is unfortunate. It was more like, I don't know. There were more things, like, I don't know, lights. But yeah, it's really interesting to see how karma and our previous karma somehow connects, right? And we've connected different deities than other deities. And it's almost like in this lifespan, and I'm gonna stop here, it's like there's some kind of like time, like, I don't know, I look at this, you know, I took certain initiations and did certain practices 22 years ago, right? And like, didn't do whatever with them or did do whatever with them. But I can kind of see how time can be compressed where you can just start back where you left it off, right? Okay, so it's 1999 and I was studying this and I just took this initiation and we can go from here and not get hung up on the 20 years that passed. Because right now is the only time we can do anything, right? Right now is the only time. You know, I was wondering, like, why in the world does Rinpoche say, Jeff, come in here. You got to go through my texts over there. He's got a pile of texts, right? We have to organize them soon. But a pile of different texts. They're together. So they go get the Kala Chakra generation stage text, right? And pull it out. We're going to do the retreat. What? What are you talking about, right? I haven't been doing Succession Guru Yoga. I've like, that's my guilt part of my life. That's like the biggest guilt thing I have in Buddhism. Like I keep it in a little closet and I shut it and I like look at it every once in a while. And so he just says, that's what we're doing today. And I'm thinking we're going to read a quick book and we do like 8 hours, like in the hot, we're both sweating. He's making me read every word. When I don't read a word, he stops. And we read every word of this like huge, huge, like, I don't want to exaggerate. It was a lot of pages and I didn't understand most of it, but I now see Shadow Rinpoche has visited, who did all of the ceremonies at my Kala Chakra initiation. He was here on our hill with his hands putting the mandala together, right? And it's like time just got like compressed back and here we are, and like get over all the rest of it because that's just clinging, right? So there's so many things like that in life and in Dharma. And that's just I think that all I have to offer is not scholarship. It's just experience of like 25 years, 20 years sitting next to Rinpoche, being a normal human being throughout all of it, you know, having ups, having downs, and then, you know, slowly having this revolution take place because of the words of the Lamrim. And I'm just so fortunate to have had this and now see how it all connects. And don't believe for a second, if you don't understand leisure and opportunity, that you can understand that sentient beings are suffering, because some have leisure, some don't. What would that mean if they were in hell? What would that mean? All the sentient beings are going to die. They don't know when they're going to die, and the only thing that can help them is Dharma. That's all part of their plight, which is our plight, which if we don't understand our plight, we can't even dream of someone else's plight. When we look at this guru devotion, the guru devotion is important and all throughout the stages, and you can't become a Buddha till without it at the highest yoga tantra level, without a Vajra master. So that guru devotion that we start out with so that we can learn about leisure and opportunity and death and impermanence and karma and its results carries through all the way to our enlightenment. That teacher that's teaching us is carrying us through all the way to Buddhahood. And we have to see these masters, these teachers, as these conduits to our enlightenment, and see this these practices in the small scope are our meditations on the great scope. When we meditate on sentient beings suffering, we're not meditating on this higher level of bodhisattva we're thinking of them. We're thinking about the suffering we thought about that got us to want to get out of samsara. First, to get out of the lower realms, right? We thought of the suffering of the lower realms of hell, hungry ghosts and animals, suffering of heat and cold, the suffering of not, you know, thirst and craving, and then the suffering of ignorance and being led around in the animal realm. And then we wanted to get out of that. But all sentient beings have those sufferings too. That's not Pluto. That's samsara. That's where the sentient beings we want to liberate are going, will continue to go, unless they become liberated or Buddhas. So all of those meditations on the small scope, if they aren't solid as a rock, your great vehicle practice is a joke. Fact. Your love, your compassion, it's all just words if you don't know what that object of observation is going through. And the only way you get to what they're going through and give a shit about it is to know what you're going through and how it happened. The rest of it's just words, and it feels good until the hardship hits and someone's really a jerk, and then they no longer are an object of our observation of love and compassion for a minute or two or three. We don't see that, oh my God, their afflictions are causing them to do this. The way they're acting is going to cause them to go to hell. They're not going to have leisure and opportunity. They have no idea that right now they could die. And the only thing that will have helped them is Dharma. And right now they're being angry and they're not having a chance to move towards Buddhahood right now. Like, that would be our experience if we had meditated on the small scope and the medium scope when someone is reacting towards us. We'd immediately know that it was because of all that stuff that makes us do what we do, right? So that's what I think.
Jeff.
Yo.
Yo. So you said you want to go over what the.
I got to end. I got to end the class on the Zoom, and yeah. Then I'm gonna.
Okay, you got it.
The fundamental ground is scented with incense and strewn with flowers, adorned with Mount Meru, the four continents, the sun, and the moon. I imagine this is a Buddha land and offer it. May all sentient beings enjoy this pure realm. I dedicate whatever virtues I've collected for the benefit of the teachings of all sentient beings, and in particular for the essential teachings of Venerable Lozandrapa to stand forever. I send forth this jeweled mandala to you, precious guru. I dedicate all this virtue to emulate the knowledge of the hero Manjushri and likewise Samantabhadra as well. With whatever dedication is praised as supreme by all the conquerors to traverse the three times, I also dedicate all my roots of virtue for the sake of auspicious deeds. In that pure land surrounded by snowy mountains, you are the source of all benefit and happiness, all-powerful Avalokiteshvara, Tenzin Gyatso, means stay until samsara is end. I pray for the long life of the precious Khenpo Wangdak, a holder of scriptural and realizational doctrines, a spiritual friend who trained extensively in the five great philosophical texts with exceptional wisdom and perseverance. Sujivam Chibutsi Shabi Denona. Okay, thank you, everyone. So we could just end the recording.